Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Remind me to slap Andy, okay? Next time I see him, tell him, you know, that Rook says you need a good slap. Because he's completely screwed up all the headphones in here. And so I'm like, this is all tangled. And what is his deal? My God. Is it that fat head of his that's
he's
getting
selfish.
In the way? I know. He's very selfish. And then he doesn't leave anything in order
for anybody
else.
He doesn't care about anybody else.
Of course he doesn't. I think we know that. Clearly he has a big man crush on Rob Gronkowski as well. Goodness gracious. All right. Nothing like starting the day with a gripe. We welcome you into the playbook. Hashtag WTF Wednesday. What's the focus Wednesday? Yeah. One of these days we'll come up with something different. But it's going to work for now. We do like it for now. What's the focus Wednesday here in inside the Patriots playbook? Coming up on the program, Philip Wilson, who spent a number of years covering the Indianapolis Colts for the Indianapolis Star. He will join us. He's now the editor and publisher of the Colts Blitz website, which is put out by Scout.com. So he's going to join us to talk a little about the Colts and the matchup coming up on Sunday night on the Sunday Night Football on NBC television broadcast. Now, to that end, you know, there are some of you that I'm sure, and based on the response that I got on yesterday's show, and I realize you're coming off the bye week and it's kind of hard to get into it a little bit more, but I'm really sensing today, yesterday, first part of this week here, I'm sensing complete and total overconfidence. And I'm just trying to figure out why that is. I realize that the last 5 week run has been a significant one, especially over the last couple of weeks. And everybody seems to think now that the Patriots are back where they quote unquote belong. They're at the top of all of the power rankings, it seems like, most of them anyway, in the NFL for those major websites and publications that do those so-called power rankings. And I'm just like, man, you know, I realize the, you know, this team's in a groove and I certainly hope that they stay there. But does anybody realize that the Colts can play a little football? Number one offense in the NFL. Yes, I know the Patriots have had their way with the Colts in the past, in particular in the playoffs a year ago and what have you. And, okay, I get it, but I just – is it really going to be that easy? Can you answer me that question today? Is it really going to be that easy? And if you're a Colts fan, why do you think it is that from a New England perspective, no one seems to be giving the Colts any credit here? But that's the overwhelming sentiment I'm getting that I'm reading from early emails and seeing on Facebook posts. And I'm curious to know how you feel about it today on the program, because I'm not quite sure that I understand why. And I don't want to say it's a disrespect, but there seems to be some overconfidence moving in. And maybe it's just because of what the Patriots have done the last couple of weeks. This team is still not there yet, kids. And I tried to spend a little time yesterday outlining some of the issues, at least in my opinion, that this team has for the remaining 7 weeks of the season. And there are still plenty of things that you need to clean up in order to make this team a legitimate threat to get back to a championship game. The next month, we talked about this at length yesterday, and I guess this is why nobody's really seems to be interested in talking about it today. Forced agenda here on Patriots Playbook. You know, the next four games are against teams that are all in the playoff hunt or leading their respective divisions. I was listening to a couple of talk show hosts on one of the Boston stations earlier today talking about how I don't really see any way that the Patriots can do better than 2-2 in the next four. I said yesterday on this show, if this team goes 2-2 in the next four, they're going to be in some trouble, especially when it comes to potentially getting that first round bye for the playoffs. 2-2 in the next four, I don't think is going to get them a bye. It might ultimately get them a second place or so thereabout, but they're going to have some help in order for that to happen. 3-1 in the next four is a big swing. That means they're 10-3 going into the December part of the schedule. And, the chunk of the December schedule, with the last three games being all against AFC East teams, and you got to feel like you like your chances in that regard. Potentially to sweep. Potentially. Anyway, don't want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak. I think that makes this game on Sunday a huge swing game for the Patriots. Again, with all due respect to Detroit, it's a home game. With all due respect to San Diego, who may be off of the radar by the time the Patriots get to California. And again, we don't know. We'll give the Chargers credit where credit is due if we get to California and they are still very much in the playoff hunt. Right now, that's a toss-up. It's up in the air. But with all due respect to those two teams, that makes this game and the game on the road at Green Bay, to me, the biggest question marks. And so if you're one of those that say 2-2, then you're really not facing much trouble over the next month, right? You're not facing much trouble. You're not facing much difficulty. You figure that this team is going to lose two and win two and then win out, and it's 12-4, and they'll not only win the division, but at 12-4, at least be in the running for a first-round bye, although I'm not so sure that'll be the case because you're still going to need some help. You lose that tiebreaker with Kansas City. You hold the tiebreaker with Denver. I'm not so sure Denver's going to lose again, gang. Just not. Easier schedule than the Patriots have down the stretch run. That makes this game, in my estimation, I think most people look at Green Bay as, hey, that'd be great if they get it because it's an NFC contending team, but it's going to be, at Lambeau Field, and their fans will be pumped, and okay, if they got to lose one, that's probably the more likely because they're more familiar with Indianapolis. They've had recent history of success against Indianapolis, especially against the young quarterback and Andrew Luck, and so they're probably more likely to beat Indianapolis than they are Green Bay, if you follow my logic. That makes this game this weekend the huge swing game over the next month. If you win this one, you really talk about controlling your own destiny. There's no question in my mind you have entrenched yourself as a top seeded favorite in the AFC, but you still have to beat a potential division champ. And that is the task that faces the Patriots on Sunday night at Lucas Oil Field, Lucas Oil Stadium. That's the task that faces them. If you're going to be a favorite to win it all, you've got to be you've got to be better than the other division champs. And this is a step toward that. You lose this game, it becomes a toss-up again, and now you put a little extra pressure on yourself for maybe turning around the Green Bay game. And certainly you put a little extra pressure on yourself for, finishing out, I would say, December with three straight division wins. You put a little extra pressure on yourself. And if you do have designs ultimately on a bye, and I know that no one down the hallway here is thinking about that because they just don't do that. You realize they don't. We all know that they don't. But this is something that we can do here in this particular forum. Somebody has a big picture view somewhere. And they know that, each game becomes more and more important. Each game gets more and more magnified as the season progresses and gets closer to the playoff push. This is crunch time, as I described yesterday. December is playoff push time, but this is crunch time. This is where you prove yourself. This is where you set your season-long agenda. This is where you make or break yourself. We know what you are in the second half of the season. Whereas you're still trying to figure out who you are as a team in the opening part of the year, now by now we should know what kind of team you are, which makes the Indianapolis game all the more important. The Patriots, spit the bit against the Colts. What kind of team do you really have here? You would have, at least in my estimation, you'd have a team that's maligned, that's capable of scoring, and capable of stopping a team or at least slowing a team down, but incapable of consistency. And I think that would be the initial read on the Patriots. Whereas if you beat the Colts, and again, just an initial read by national pundits, national writers, national broadcasters, what have you, how those from the outside would look in on New England. Hey, great 5-week run, but you know, they came off the bye week and maybe they were caught looking ahead. Maybe they were caught, you know, down a little bit, too relaxed, whatever. That makes them inconsistent. If you win this game on Sunday, you have firmly stamped yourself as the favorite in the AFC. You've beaten two potential division champions in Denver and Indianapolis. And you have a huge win over another team that was predicted to win a division in Cincinnati. Although they've slumped quite a bit of late and doesn't look like they may amount to much yet, you know, in their division. But nevertheless, you've got some pretty good resume padding statistics. And what you've also done is you've distanced yourself further from that 2-2 start to the season in the month of September. As more of a statistical anomaly, as more of a, well, that's not really us kind of reasoning, as opposed to what you are now at the midseason point going forward, as which, again, as I've suggested, that's really how you tell where a team is. Big swing game this week, gang. Big swing game. So I'd be curious to know or to find out from you why you feel somewhat confident, if not overconfident, in this regard. Because I'm not so sure that you're, I'm not so sure, you know, it's almost like there's an entitlement factor going on here. And I'm not so sure anybody deserves an entitlement factor going forward. I'm a little puzzled by that one. You know, even fans have to earn it. And the team has to earn it first as well. So, part of what I'm talking about here. The second item on the agenda today has to do with the young stars in the NFL, of which, of course, Andrew Luck is most definitely one of them. You know, Tom Brady said in his press conference here at Gillette earlier today that, you know, there are a lot of things that he wishes he could do as well as Andrew Luck apparently does them. And, you know, Luck is the kind of guy that you know, is big and strong. I mean, big 6'4", 240-pound guy. He's got some movement. You know, he's got good footwork. He's got some power, can run with a football. He's got a laser beam for an arm. Big, strong, physical, got some underrated speed. You know, he's the prototype. You know, he is the prototype, more so than, you know, the typical running quarterback. He's just, he's got a little bit of everything. And I think we saw in their win over the Giants a week ago Monday, that, you know, four touchdown passes to four different targets. The Colts defense actually did a pretty good job in that game. You know, here's a guy that, let's see. I think I've got this written down here. His first Monday Night Football victory in three appearances included a league mark for the first passer with 350-plus passing yards in five consecutive road games and a franchise mark with his seventh straight game of 300-plus yard passings. All right, considering the fact that, you know, Peyton Manning once toiled in Indy, that's impressive. He's got dynamite targets and Kobe Fleener at tight end, who can send you up the middle. Wide receiver T.Y. Hilton, who can hit you around the end. Wide receiver Reggie Wayne, who's an old friend and foe. And another tight end in Dwayne Allen, who's pretty doggone good himself. Luck also, by the way, leads the NFL with about 3,100 passing yards. And the Colts, at their halfway point in the season, set an NFL record for most passing yards by a team in the first half of a season. How does that not grab your attention? Should tell you exactly what Andrew Luck is all about. So let's give Andrew Luck credit where credit is due. He's one of the bright, young, superstar players in the NFL. And it got me to thinking earlier today. You know, the Patriots have been undergoing this transformational switch from being an experienced team to a younger team over the course of the last 2+ years now. Two seasons ago, they were like the second oldest team, third oldest team in the league. Now they're one of the youngest. In fact, I think by age, like third or fourth youngest. As I looked at the last roster update, it may have since updated somewhat, but I think they're still somewhere. They've gone basically from one end of the spectrum to the other. Let's make that generalization here. And you can only do that, and I wrote that, actually a part of that about that this week in this week's View from Above here, because, you know, they have half of the players on their roster, half of the players, 27 of the 53 guys who were active the last game they played against the Broncos were not even in the NFL the last time the Patriots played in a Super Bowl. Think about that. 27 of the 53 on the roster, not even in the National Football League when the Patriots were in the Super Bowl in 2012 from the 2011 season. So you got some guys here that really don't have the kind of experience that maybe you think they have. You got some guys here who are learning how to do this for the very first time in their careers. And you got some guys here that are clearly very talented with 3 years or less experience in the NFL. So my thought was, is, all right, who do the Patriots have with 3 years or less experience? And then based on that, who in the NFL with 3 years or less experience do you feel like has superstar written all over them? Let's exclude Andrew Luck from this discussion only because Andrew Luck to me is the next. I hope that another quarterback somewhere in the NFL rises to the challenge to match Luck, just like Brady came up to rise Peyton Manning. You remember Manning, of course, entered the NFL a couple of years before Tom Brady did. But Brady, coming out of nowhere in 2001 as he did, taking over for the then-injured Drew Bledsoe, Brady quickly became a huge fixture as a young talent in the NFL to match what Peyton Manning was doing in Indianapolis. So somebody else out there is going to have to come up and rise and match another Colts quarterback in Andrew Luck going forward. Now, this is Luck's third full year. 2012, 13, 14. Yeah, third full year. Who else is out there that has superstar written all over them? I'd be curious as to your views of the young emerging superstars, whether it's a quarterback or another position in the NFL. Who are we going to be talking about as football fans for the next 5, 6 to 7 years? And I put that kind of a time frame on it because I've seen this a couple of places where an average first-round draft pick in the NFL has about a 9-year career. That's about the shelf life. It's about 9 years. Sometimes a little bit more. Clearly, outside of the first round, it seems to be a little bit less. But that's about where it stacks. So if you're in your third year right now, that means you've got 5, 6 years, potentially good years, left ahead of you on average in the league. Who are we going to be talking about in the NFL over the course of these next 5, 6 years as a superstar in the NFL? Love to hear your thoughts on all these on these two subjects today. Your overconfidence, why? Against Indianapolis, number one. And number two, like Andrew Luck, who's an emerging superstar in the NFL with 3 years or less experience in the league? 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free telephone number. 855-PATS-500. That's our focus today on hashtag WTF Wednesday. What's the focus Wednesday? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. @JRBroadcaster on Twitter. So hit me up on Twitter. Use the hashtag if you can, WTF Wednesday. Kind of make it fun. That way we keep everything categorized and love to go back and look at them in case I don't get to all of them in a particular day. I just go hit the hashtag and certainly makes it easy to organize things, doesn't it? So try to use WTF Wednesday on your hashtag if you tweet it out. Follow me on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. And then on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E on the last name. Submit the friend request if you're not a friend on Facebook. And then you can post and we can chat during the program on the Facebook page. Any thoughts on that right away? I'll give you a couple of moments to think about it. We'll get to the telephones. I'm going to try to get my frozen computer screen up and running again here. Kevin's laughing because he knows it seems to always happen to me. So we'll do that. But think about those two things. Philip Wilson will join us in the second hour of the program from the Colts Blitz website to get into the Colts, break them down. We'll get his thoughts on other young players in the league besides Andrew Luck and much more, all right here today on the Patriots Playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Well, this ought to be fun today. The internet in this entire building seems to be acting up. Why does it always pick about 2 o'clock Eastern time to do this, Kev? I'm not trying to...
It's been like this the whole day today.
Has it? Really?
It's been really crummy.
So you're going to have to bear with us just a little bit today because, quite frankly, it'll be very difficult to get emails. It'll be very difficult to get tweets. It might even be difficult to get phone calls in here, so it might end up being me talking to myself for the next hour and a half, which doesn't excite me a heck of a lot. Probably like it doesn't excite you a heck of a lot. So let's try this and see what happens. I don't know if I can bring him on the air. You want to try? No, it's frozen, completely frozen. Can you bring him up?
Yeah, let's go to our buddy.
Steve in Killeen, Texas. Hey, Steve, how's it going today?
All right, John. So I now get to dominate the airwaves.
You do. Dominate.
Well, first of all, I think it's going to be the chicken parm factor that's going to kick in for the win this weekend, John. Now that you got included, it goes back to unexpected things in unexpected ways. I think the special teams play has been outstanding, and it will continue to improve. That's taking nothing away from Luck and the fact that, you know, he's definitely trending to be one of the elites in the NFL. As far as quarterback position right now, I don't think we've drafted that person yet to rival him. Hopefully it's coming soon. And just in general, I mean, there's a plethora of wide receivers and backs that could be mentioned in that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a tough one, to be honest with you. I have to take some time and, you know, touch base with Howard in Connecticut and Russell Baxter and the gang to try and get a more cognizant answer to who that individual or individuals might be.
Understood.
Rival him right now.
But. Yeah, understood. You know, I got to admit that, Luck has been one of my favorite players from the very time that he broke into the league. I guess I probably wasn't quite as familiar with him as I should have been coming out of Stanford. And part of the reason for that is very simple. Stanford's out on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. And there's very little opportunity, especially for primetime games out West, for me to watch those because they're too late in the East. Or I've already had my fill of football and, you know, I've got to go off another direction, you know, during the day. So I haven't had a chance to see him play near as much as I would have liked to. I knew he was good. I know his dad, who's the, athletic director at West Virginia and former quarterback for the Houston Oilers and all that kind of stuff. So I'm certainly familiar with the Lux and the Luck name, but as he has become a professional quarterback, I'm really taken aback by his physical talents and abilities. He plays way beyond his means as, you know, a 24, you know, year old man. I'm really impressed with his savvy. I think sometimes he does have a tendency to take, liberties with the game, where he tries to maybe create things where things don't necessarily exist. And I think that's where the Patriots have beaten him in the past. And I think that will be a huge key, to potentially getting a win over the Colts on Sunday night. The Patriots have to take the ball away from Andrew Luck. If they don't take the ball away from Andrew Luck, I don't think the Patriots can win this game on Sunday night. I think that almost has to be a must. So, you know, I think he has that kind of influence, and I think that football team has that kind of confidence playing in their own home stadium as opposed to playing on the road. And really, what other young players in the NFL can you say that about where they really rally around a guy like that? He means as much overall to their team as a guy like Luck does.
No, there's no one that comes to mind. You know, he has that odd blend of kind of the Cam Newton mobility with the Roethlisberger size where he can actually just stand in and take the punch in the mouth and still deliver a strike, which brings me to, you know, I'm hoping that defensively we can kind of sew up the ends and keep him contained. That's the other concern where people don't realize how quick he is.
Yeah.
And as far as him coming into the league, I mean, it's the dichotomy of the Johnny Football versus him. He came in kind of understated and quiet and just went to work.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's kind of what I like about the guy. You know, he's all business. He comes from a football family, a football-minded family. Comes from, you know, a family, who, you know, whose dad, you know, certainly had a, you know, an amount of success as a quarterback in himself. Although, you know, I remember having this conversation with Oliver Luck a few years ago, when West Virginia was still in the Big East, and we sat down and actually had lunch together, and we talked about his son, who I think at the time was a sophomore. I think it would have been a sophomore because he came out after his junior year. So I think he was getting ready to start his sophomore season at Stanford. And, I said, you know, how do you guys deflect, you know, the attention, you know, when it's pretty clear that your kid's got what it takes to play? And he goes, you know, Andrew is one of the most grounded kids. He said, you know, his mother and I try to figure out what the heck we did to make this kid so grounded, so mature for a young age. And he said, I leave him alone. I try to leave him alone. He does come to me for advice, but I try to leave him alone for the most part, and I let his coaches at Stanford at the time, I let his coaches do a lot of the teaching. Now, you know, they've come to me in the past, what do you think about this or that? And I've said, look, you guys go with what you think is good. You know, I'll help him, you know, try to work out some issues that he might have personally. But, you know, one of the reasons, you know, he wanted to go to Stanford, and I certainly approved of him going to Stanford, was the fact that felt like, you know, good, solid pro-style offense like that was going to behoove his future as a quarterback. And so he's got, you know, the pedigree, he's got the tutelage, he's got the book learning, he's got the physical talents on top of it. I'm like, man, this guy, you know, now you know what he needs to do? In my estimation, Steve, he needs to work, you know, with a talent coach, or he needs to work with his agent to make him more personable, like Peyton Manning did a number of years ago. And then in 10 years from now, or 5 years from now, we'll see, you know, Andrew Luck doing things like Peyton Manning's doing, you know, making millions of dollars, you know, selling things. I mean, he's got that kind of persona.
I mean, you know, and I wish him well, with the exception of this coming Sunday. And
yeah,
that's just me showing my homerism. But, yeah, as far as his talent and the kind of individual and character that he has, like I said, he is that dichotomy between Johnny Football and what I think a class act NFL player should be.
That's a great point. You know, if you want somebody to root for, as you suggested, with the exception of this Sunday, if you want somebody to root for, here's a kid you could root for, because he seems to be trying to do it the right way, you know, and the entire entire state of Indiana, Colts fans everywhere rooting for the guy, and it's hard not to root for the kid because he seems to be doing things the right way. He seems to be going about his job in a very professional manner. And
the,
you know, that
with him and Brady was, you know, you're coming back in for a guy that was, you know, seen as a caliber NFL player by no, you know, the Bledsoe Manning comparison might not be fair, but the way that things happen, where you have a relative unknown coming in, somebody who you knew was solid,
yeah,
and that transition happening as smoothly as it did, John, especially for young guys,
mm-hmm.
which Brady and Luck both wore at the time,
right,
is impressive in and of itself,
so. Right. All right, Steve, what do you think about this overconfidence factor that I'm getting a distinct read on here over the last couple of days?
I just think it's because of the trend. I mean, there's only one other team that has a 5-0 run right now, John, and just seeing how certain things kind of have come together, you know, I'm going, you know, we've had 10 days to prepare, which is definitely a good thing. Now it's, are we going to come in? And I just want to see us kind of go to old school smash mouth type football where we just exert our will from the beginning, start up tempo, get up quickly, and just stay up. You know, the PFW guys made this comparison of, you know, we don't necessarily, you know, are going to be the 85 Bears, but it'd be nice to have that level of confidence that once we're up by 10 or 13, that the game is pretty much well in hand and, you know, we're keeping our pedal, keeping the pedal down until it's done.
Well, I kind of look at the Colts kind of like I looked at the Broncos game a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to feel terribly comfortable with a 2-touchdown lead against this team with a guy like Luck that can run an offense the way that he does. You know, they're number one offensive team and number one scoring team for nothing in this league. You know, so they clearly know how to put points on the board. And that's why I think, you know, it stands a very real possibility we'll see some offensive fireworks on Sunday night.
Yeah, and the yards didn't really concern me. But when you start looking at those yards as they line up with points scored, John, that's the major difference between them and Denver.
Yep.
When these guys get yards, it becomes points, and Denver proved that somewhat consistently that that's not always the case with them.
Well, let's hope that the bend but don't break philosophy, comes to fruition. I just, frankly, I think there's a little more speed, and I think Denver has, I think the Colts have every bit the whiteouts that Denver do. Just my opinion.
I started going through that. It's going, okay, so we take out, T.Y. Hilton, then we've got three or four other guys who can step up. Not to mention that, they have a pretty good running back receiver as well. So it's definitely not going to be a gimme by any stretch of the imagination, but I think special teams and the D stepping up, hopefully, forcing those three and outs that they did against Denver.
Got to get these guys off the field. Yeah, that's huge. Got to get
the opening whistle.
Absolutely. Got to get these guys off the field on Sunday night. And that's why, I preached about the penalties yesterday because, these third and, two situations on offense are one thing. But, when you get a team in third and long and they convert because, you're holding or you're committing interference, Andrew Luck will kill you.
Yeah,
he's got every bit the ability to kill you with.
I agree. The upside is I don't mind the aggression when it's smart. Browner smacking somebody on third and short or getting at the spot pass interference that puts them in the red zone. You just can't have that this kind of Sunday.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Steve.
All right, John. One last thing. Challenge the rest of Pat's Nation to make sure you don't starve, brother. So I get your back on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the lunch yesterday. That was very awesome of you to remember me. Since those guys basically inhale everything and is gone before I get here.
Not a problem. I look forward to doing it again soon, John.
Thanks, buddy. All right, you got it. Steve and Colleen. All right, let's get Eldridge in North Carolina in here. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's happening today?
I've been picking up a load, but I couldn't get to you yesterday. And I'm like you. I'm a little complacent. Because really, we can go 1-3 instead of 4-0.
Sure.
Yes, we could. But I'm hoping, like everybody else, that they come out kicking and go 7-0. But that's far fetched.
I think 7-0. And with all due respect to the folks that chimed in and predicted 7-0 when we were doing that for Prediction Thursday last week. I got to admit, I think that's just a little bit of the fanboy coming out. Trying to ride a little wave of enthusiasm coming off the big wins over the last couple of weeks. It could happen. I certainly will allow for that. And if it does, then there will be a lot of "I told you so's" being pointed my way. That's fine. But and that's fine, and you'll certainly have a right to do that. But I actually like the fact that you're pointing out this could easily be 1-3, as easy as it could be 3-1 over this next month.
Because of Detroit, they got like the number one defense, and the offense is was a little torn, but now they got Megatron back.
Yeah,
so you got Megatron and Golden Tate.
Yeah, Golden Tate has turned into a real fantasy find, hadn't he?
Yes, sir. But my focus is for the Colts. Is how they gonna match up with everybody? That's what I'm afraid of. Cause Hightower can't run with Bradshaw or Richardson when they come out the backfield.
Yeah.
Collins might do okay with Cleaner, but I think Tony Allen is just like Tim Wright. He got a little speed for his size.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Now T.Y. Hilton, he's fast. I don't know how fast Revis is, but Revis gonna need to help over the top. And Dwayne, Reggie Wayne, that's going to be a whole new nightmare for Brown, if you ask me. Because Brown is going to get physical, but Wayne can take one to the house. I guess everybody forgot about that, too.
Yeah, I said this a little yesterday, Eldridge. I'm not convinced Browner finds Reggie Wayne in the matchup. I'm not sure that's the one that is really conducive to the Patriots' advantage. You might see some switching off there. That wouldn't surprise me. He might see him for a play or two. I'd be stunned if they matched up like, Browner on Wayne and Revis on Hilton exclusively. I just don't think that'll happen.
I don't think so either. But I'm like the fan. I'm a Patriot fan to the heart. I hope we do go 7-0. I hope we go to Super Bowl and win it too. But like I said, I'm leaning more towards 6-1, being realistic. But like I said, even though Detroit scares me a little bit because they know how to get off the Brady. I think we only beat them once in the last couple of years we done played them. That's even when Torts was the coach.
Sure. Yeah, so I got you.
That's true. But my new focus, like I said, for the young guy, who's going to rise up and give Luck run.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got to be Russell Wilson,
mm-hmm.
Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
He already got a Super Bowl ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think him and Luck will be battling because Luck was picked before him, and he got that little thing that Brady had, that little chip.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point, Eldridge. He does seem to have that it factor, doesn't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He will prove everybody wrong. And he's more football savvy a little bit, you know what I mean? He can run, spam, and throw, but his height.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the main thing. North Carolina State wish they had a kept instead of going let him go to Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. And people forget that he was an NC State quarterback, you know, for, you know, his career until he had that 1 year at Wisconsin that seemed to catapult him toward, you know, where he is now.
Yeah, exactly right. Because I was delivering a load the other week and one of the guys was bringing that up. I said, yeah, I know he's North Carolina State, but they said when Gannon came in there, from Tampa Bay, that was in him packing.
Yep.
That's what they say.
Yeah,
because of his height and his arm.
So we might be looking at Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck in the same vein as we see, you know, Manning versus Brady right now.
That's what I'm looking at. Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay,
out of two young quarterbacks.
Okay, that's probably as good a thought as any. I would guess. You know, there may still be a couple of guys, you know, in the collegiate ranks that could come up and have a piece of that. But you know, that's actually not bad. You know, Russell Wilson's the kind of guy that, you know, wow, he's undersized. I think we know that, but he does, as I said, have that it factor. And when you surround him with the right kind of people, that he can be that much better. And I think that's what they've done in Seattle. Although clearly he now has shown that he has athletic ability with the 300-yard rushing games that he's had this year. And that's impressive when you consider that he's had 100 passing yard games this year alone. And only one player did that one time in the entire decade of the 1980s. And that was Randall Cunningham.
Randall Cunningham. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But like I said, he got that chip. And that's one of my, I think, that was run with Luck. But everybody else, I think the Red Rifle's going to fizzle out. And Tannehill, I'll give him another year or two because he got what he needed in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why he can't put it together.
Okay.
He got what he needed.
Yeah.
He got a defense. He got some guys on the outside. He got a little offense running right now with Moreno.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. And he got a better line than what we got. So,
yep.
I just don't know.
A couple of years maybe left there.
Yes, I got to run. You have a good one.
Thanks, Eldridge. See you, buddy. Here's our friend Kat in Chicago. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How's it going today?
Good. I figured I would call in and weigh in a little bit on the Colts game.
Good.
So, I don't know if you remember this, but my husband is born and raised in Indy, and he's a Colts fan.
Big Colts fan. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
So, I have seen every Colts game this season.
And?
And, I am not worried about Kobe Fleener. Kobe Fleener is not tough. He makes a lot of stupid mistakes. He's one of those guys that you hit him and he shies away from contact. He's just, he is never going to be elite because I don't know if he's soft or lacks concentration or something, but he's a bonehead. So
tell me how you really feel.
Yeah. And the other thing too is Reggie. Has not been the same this year. And
Why is that?
Well, part of it is the ACL stuff that he was coming back from,
mm-hmm.
From last year. But he also has, so he's definitely not as fast. He's lost a step. He is nowhere near as fast or as shifty as he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's also been struggling with, I think it's an elbow. It's been
right,
an arm
right.
Injury.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. And, he's dropped some. He just has not. This looks like it might be his last year. He's not been the same.
So, do you think maybe a physical matchup with a guy like Reggie Wayne would be in order for the Patriots here?
Well, I don't think that. I don't think that they're. Like I said, I'm not really that worried about it. I think that he's. He wouldn't be the guy that I'm most worried about matching up with physically.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that I would be most concerned about with that is Dwayne Allen.
Okay.
I love Dwayne Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan. And I would say that they should be most worried about him just because, number one, he's big, he's strong, he's fast. He's not as fast as Gronk, but he's got a lot of similarities to Gronk in that they are both that big hulking guy that can run across the middle and shake tackle, stiff arm people, jump up, you know, pull the ball down. And he's also a really nice guy. I've met him.
Really?
Yep, he's real sweet. He's a class act. So I both hope for him, but I'm scared of him this weekend.
Okay, Dwayne Allen then. We'll keep an eye out because Cat in Chicago said so.
Yep.
I like that. All right, so that's a pretty good scouting report on the Colts. Now, let me ask you this. Okay, go ahead.
The scouting note I would say on defense is that Vontae Davis has been playing really well this year.
Yeah.
And he gets passed over a lot on that. You know, he wasn't a big name. They traded for him last year. He came in and didn't do much. But this year, he has been really, really, really excellent.
Where in particular do you think his improvement has come from? Can you make a judgment on that?
I think he's more comfortable with the other guys on the field. So he understands, I think when he first came in, he didn't, you know, he was the new guy in the unit, and he didn't trust the other guys out there. So he wasn't, you know, he just wasn't willing to commit to making the plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't. You know, he just wasn't ready for that.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, their whole secondary looks better. People can joke all they want about Darius Butler and Sergio Brown and stuff, but they've made some plays this year, which they never did for the Patriots. And I think it was every week I go, there's no way. And then one of them comes down with an interception. I just shake my head like,
yeah,
impossible.
Right.
But it happened. That unit has gelled. I think their coaching is real good, and like I said, they're all playing way better than they did when they played here.
So it doesn't sound to me like you have any case of complacency.
Oh, God, no. No, I think this is going to be a tough game. Yep.
Okay, very good. What about some of the other young players in the NFL, as I was talking about a short while ago? Anybody stand out in your mind as being particularly impressive and potential superstar status?
Well, I think Luck. I mean, he's my number one. I don't like any of the other quarterbacks. I think there's some great wide receivers out there who are, you know, I mean, Sammy Watkins looks really pretty amazing, and I think Mike Evans in future years is going to show he's really good.
Mike Evans was another one, and as much as it pains me to say it because he's an Aggie, but I, you know, he's another one I've seen come on, obviously, of late in Tampa that I think might have some potential, big time, big play potential.
Yeah, I liked him coming out of college just because he was Manziel's wide receiver, and I thought that I didn't like Manziel.
Yeah, right, of course,
But, you know, all the plays had to come from somewhere, so, yeah, I think he's looking pretty good. There's a guy that I'm not necessarily sure I'd call him young anymore, but I've always really liked Niall Davis, and he's never gotten a chance because he's behind Jamaal Charles, but, man, he is really talented.
Yes, he is.
If we were, you know, back when before the trade deadline, people were talking about trading for a running back, and he would have been my number one pick because, God, he is fast and shifty and just really, really talented. So maybe one of these days he'll get a shot.
Niall Davis, that's a good one. Patriots, you know, he played pretty well against New England. So, yeah, that's another good name, another good one. Very good. Good stuff, Kat. Thank you for the look-see inside Indy. And, you know, I hope that you and your husband can manage, you know, decent relations this week since you're going to be clearly at each other's throats on Sunday night.
Well, usually if the Patriots lose, things are worse than if the Colts lose. So I'm not sure what he's hoping for, but if he knows what's good for him, he'll be happy the Patriots win.
Yes, indeed, if he knows what's good for him. Thank you, Kat. Kat in Chicago. Don't mess with Kat. Don't ever mess with Kat. Eskal checking in from the locker room. What's up, Eric?
Hey, my man.
What's happening?
We actually got in and out on time today.
Amazing.
I know.
Anything good to report?
Not so much from the locker room. Kind of a boring day today in there. Not that many players. Gronk, Edelman. Edelman was decent. Gronk, not so much.
Okay.
You don't really get much out of Gronk.
Right.
Even though people love to hear from him.
Except for his nudity in the locker room?
That's got to stop. That's got to stop.
Apparently Andy's a real fan, so that's okay.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, big time fan. All right.
But practice-wise, we have some, I guess, good news. Brandon LaFell missed yesterday for
right.
some unknown reason.
Right.
He didn't get an injury report on Tuesdays.
Right.
But he was back there today.
Mm-hmm.
I did, though, see that he was getting some treatment on his left ankle during the stretching portion and got the treatment, rewrapped, got back out there and was taking part.
But yeah, I saw a couple of written reports today tweeted out that LaFell may also have strep throat that he's been dealing with.
So that could have been part of it, too. But he also had had that today.
Mm-hmm.
Just something
good
to know.
But still no sign, though, of Dominic Easley.
No, which that's not so good.
Right. That does pose a problem.
And no sign of Silver Ceilinga yet.
Right.
Who has
couple
eligibility
of weeks.
Now to,
yeah.
to practice, but has not yet been out there
right.
to do that.
So he can come back and practice, but
yes.
it's week 12 where he can come back
next,
and play.
Yeah, the Lions game is his earliest possible return date
right.
for
okay.
as far as games are concerned. But,
right.
So he, Easley and Jones, Chandler Jones are the only two. Didn't really expect to see Chandler Jones. But
has anybody seen him at all since he went down with his injury? Has he even been around?
Not in the locker room, no.
So he's rehabbing somewhere off in private.
Or here, but just not when we
Yeah, during off times.
Yeah, when we're not in that area.
Yeah, we're not in the area. Yeah, interesting.
But they were in the bubble today.
Yeah.
To try to prepare for the
dome?
Lucas Oil conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And full pads.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Were they piping in music?
Not while we were there, but I think probably after we left, they probably did something of that nature.
You know, Lucas Oil Stadium was one of those stadiums,
maybe,
in the past where the Colts have been accused of, shall we say, augmenting the conditions.
Yeah, the RCA Dome in particular.
Well, yeah, when it was the old RCA Dome, mm-hmm. but they have done that in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
just kind of curious to know if whether or not that might be the case still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't do it while the media was in there, but I'm pretty sure that that's what they do once we leave.
Right.
At various times, you know, probably during team period mostly.
Okay. All right. So everything else status quo.
Yeah, I mean, to be this far into the season and have really just a couple of guys who are not practicing is pretty good health-wise. I mean, you know, obviously they've lost Jerod Mayo, which is not good.
And Stephen Ridley.
And Stephen Ridley, which is not good. But for the most part, they're a fairly healthy team at this late stage in the season, which mm-hmm. is more than you can ask for.
Right. Would you say then, comparatively speaking to a year ago, that this team is definitely better off health-wise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're actually even a better team than they were last year at this point overall. Defensively, they're a little bit better. Offensively, they're clicking. Even though they were, at this point last year, putting up pretty big numbers too, I think they're in even better shape this year on both sides of the ball. And special teams continues to be. Actually, Edelman and his production has been better than he was last year. He wasn't really a factor special teams-wise last year with punt returns. He's been more of that this year. So I think in all three phases they're a little bit better team than they were at this point last year.
What do you feel like is the one big factor right now for the Patriots in terms of maybe a need going into this second half? What they really need to be careful with, what really needs to be improved upon?
Well, we've harped on it for years, but they could certainly be better at rushing the quarterback. I don't know how they're going to do that, though, if Chandler Jones isn't on the field and the other guys that are on the field can't suddenly become that much better. But that's an area where they could find some improvement. However they do, I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'd like to see them do better at that. Continue to try to create turnovers. They're leading the league in that category. That's what I think has been keeping their defense
above water.
Is the ability to do that.
Right.
And offensively, fingers crossed, Gronk stays healthy. Because if they can keep him out on the field at the top of his game,
sure.
This offense is really hard to stop, no matter what defense you put up against them. And that's what's been the difference in the playoffs the last few years and in the Super Bowl in 2011.
Yep.
His inability to be Gronk. You know, he was out there in the Super Bowl, but he wasn't
The same
himself.
Player.
You know, he wasn't the same factor.
Right.
He is a factor now. And if he can continue to do that for the next 6 weeks and then hopefully however many weeks they need in the playoffs, they'll be hard to stop.
All right. Thanks for the locker room report.
Sure.
Appreciate that.
Sure.
Let's also get on here then to a little bit more on the Indianapolis Colts as we get into hour number two inside the playbook here for a Wednesday. Philip Wilson has covered the Colts for a number of years, formerly with the Indianapolis Star, now the editor and publisher of the Colts Blitz on scout.com. Philip, John Rook here in Foxborough. Thanks for taking the time today.
Hi, John. Thank you.
Appreciate that. So, we all know that Andrew Luck is the next coming of Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or maybe the next great slice of bread in the National Football League. You know, what else about this team above and beyond what Andrew Luck has been able to accomplish thus far has helped this team get to where they are right now at 6-3?
Oh, I think probably every nine guys have caught at least 15 passes. And first and foremost, points to T.Y. Hilton, because he obviously took off last year when Red Swain went down, and T.Y.'s continued that this year. I'm sure that Mr. Belichick will put Mr. Revis on him, and maybe Hilton will get lost on Revis Island for a game. That's priority number one, and that's if Belichick's predictable about anything, it's take away, you know, that number one thing you do well. And as Coach Chuck Pagano said Monday, he makes you have to beat them left-handed. I thought that was a pretty clever way of putting it.
Sure.
I mean, so I think probably the receiver depth has helped Andrew blossom even more. If there's any other surprise, if you will, or just a surprise, but positive to why they're 6-3 and seemingly trending upward with, what, 5 out of the last 6 wins. I'd say the defense has been a little more consistent in a 3-4 blitz scheme. Getting pressure except for when guys are smart enough to keep more people in, like Pittsburgh did, but that went off on them. But defense has been a little better than maybe we thought.
Sure.
I'm not going to say it's a playoff caliber. It's going to win in junior defense. You guys know in New England, that's when you prove it. You know, everything else is talk, really. You prove stuff in January, February, and that.
Absolutely. You brought up a good point that, you know, I guess part of Luck's progress as a potential star in the making here, if he's not already in the NFL, has to do with some of the unbelievable wide receiver or receiver depth overall that the Colts have. And I would certainly agree with that, you know, with Hilton, with Wayne, two tight ends. There are a lot of people who love Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener there as well. You know, how much has their play made Luck that much better this year, say, over, I don't know, a year ago? I mean, right now, you know, Luck leads the NFL in passing yardage. So has it been more Luck, or has it been more the help that he's getting from the receivers?
Well, I'd say equal parts, because I don't want to take away from Luck what I've seen as the natural progression. Yeah, the O-line's been shaky at times, but he's not getting sacked as much either, which after getting sacked 73 times the first 2 years, you kind of figured the only way was up. You know, you'd hope, anyway. But Dwayne Allen is a great tight end. He does get open, just like Kobe Fleener has, you know, stopped dropping balls. He's been pretty steady when he's been needed. Reggie's still wily and smart and smooth in terms of find open spot zones, cross routes, hell, even the sideline out against the Giants. You know, there's a great example of how, maybe people didn't see it, but it was a Monday night game, probably did. Reggie's covered on a sideline out, but Andrew puts the ball in there perfectly over the shoulder, only where Reggie did it, even though there's cover, guys covered pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reggie snags and runs the rest of the way for the touchdown. Andrew still makes those throws every week where you say, wow, that was pretty darn good. We've seen some, you know, pretty good throws to Peyton Manning, this guy, and he makes good ones. Now, that said, sorry to bring up, he had his share of interceptions, especially against the Patriots. 7 interceptions, 1 lost fumble in 2 games against the Patriots.
Right.
So that's a big deal. But to answer your question, it's equal. I mean, you know, for a guy like Hockey Knicks, who doesn't seem to have it anymore, I think Andrew seeing him, you know, make him look better at times with Rose and Dante Moncrief work the same thing.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I've noticed about the Colts that I'm kind of curious as to your aspect of here is, you know, the Colts have been at or near the top of the league in possession this yeah. year, being mostly, clearly a pass-first type of offense. What do you attribute that to?
Well, that's been the mind-blowing stat. Somebody just mentioned to me they've fallen to second to time of possession. There was I haven't looked at the stats here in my truck as I drive home. Complex, but I'll look at it. But they were like 36 minutes of time possession on average. At one point, it was like 2.5 minutes more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
The passing, they move the chains, and the passes are maybe a little more short range. They can still dial long distance, Milton. But this is, I wouldn't say it's a West Coast offense, but there's a lot more throwing to the running backs out of the backfield. You look at the stats. And that's something I know Belichick will key on. You know, that he's Bradshaw an awful lot out of the backfield, throwing the ball to him.
Yep.
Got six receiving touchdowns. Trent Richards is capable. You know, it's the classic, you know, get the guys out in space on a linebacker, safety one-on-one, see if they can break the tackle, make someone miss. Well, when you're dumping the ball off the backs, you're going to have a higher completion percentage. You're probably going to get more first downs. You're going to hang on to the ball. But also, feeding into that, and I looked at the stats again, but the Colts, at least recently, were number one in third down defense.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting off the field on third down, which that might be one of the more stunning stats because the defense has been the Achilles heel.
Wow.
You know, dating back to before Walker Pagano. So you can see how if you get off field, you know, on three and outs or on third down a lot, you're giving into the ball more. And finally, it's taken a while, but finally the Colts, I think you've had to accept what they are and accept the strength. That's luck. That's the passing game. That's the depth. And even though they talk balance, wanted to have a ground shot attack, as I like to call it, because it's a power running game last year, which is, you know, give me a break.
Sure.
They realize that they're under luck throwing the ball.
Philip Wilson, new editor and publisher of the Colts Blitz website, part of the Scout.com network, joining us here inside the playbook. That's really a couple of interesting parallels there. Number one in time of possession, but also number one in third down defense. So my question to you now is, how the hell have the Colts lost three games?
Well, because they weren't getting pressure on the quarterback, for one. All right. Denver, they got some Manning once. And they were down 24-0 before they could blink. The defense didn't do anything for almost a half. So you spot Peyton Manning 24 points. And I might know a thing or two about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once or a thousand times. You're going to lose. They played a great second half. And it got stopped at the end of the game. Philadelphia, they were up by 2 touchdowns. They just blew it. And the coaches even blew it. They tried to throw a ball on 3rd and 9. Yes, T.Y. Hilton was held. Yes, it should have been flagged for holding or penalty. It was. The ball sailed wide. Intercepts. Really comes back to win. And then Pittsburgh was, I think, another outstanding job. I thought it was a nice job. Not knock on the Colts. But that, to me, was really impressive. Pittsburgh kept 6 and 7 guys pinned to block. They saw what happened to Baltimore when Baltimore came in. Lost. They saw Cincinnati just get, you know, taken to the woodshed, 27-0. Same thing. Dalton, Flacco, didn't have enough time to throw because Colts were loading 7 guys in the box, didn't know where they were coming from.
Right.
And we've seen Bill with 3-4 defenses over the years, and oh, God, I can't remember how many times they puddled Manning over the years in those Patriots-Colts wars. So, long answer long. You know, the Colts defense hasn't been there at times. The offense scored at least 20 points in every game, but there have been 3 times where the defense, you know, let up and not got it done. And as everybody saw, Big Ben, he's in your pressure, Roethlisberger, he lifts these guys up for 6 TDs. So
sure.
That's the key. If you want to look at one key, you know, what makes this team not a shootout, it's, you know, if the Colts defense can't get stops, and the Patriots get turnovers or they did get stops, then this could be ugly for the home team.
You know, there. Talk about the defense for a couple of moments, because I'm sure that's the least familiar area, especially for fans on this end of this particular matchup. There is some familiarity with safety Sergio Brown, having played in New England as well. But who has been the surprise factor that has come up and really played a little above and beyond, in your estimation, defensively, that's helped keep this team competitive?
Well, I mean, and you bring up Sergio, and I just was joking around with him today in the locker room about, you know, how he's a star now and how I probably won't be able to get interviews with him anymore and starting five games. But, you know, Sergio's a great kid, Notre Dame guy, and he's played great. And they're gonna start him. They're going to start him against the Patriots, even though LaRon Landry's back and practicing back to suspension. LaRon Landry's a former Pro Bowl safety. So I think you say Sergio and Mike Adams both, the safeties. I think you'd be a little surprised there. I look on the TV and I see an Antoine Bethea playing well for San Francisco, and I kind of wish for Colts fans that he was still wearing that, you know, horseshoe helmet, but he's not. But those two safeties are pretty good. But the answer, the best answer, though, I'd give you, with all due respect to Sergio and Mike, is that Avante Davis has surprised me. They gave him a lot of money, like $39 million or whatever. And if you're like me, you can't help but think, gee, Chris, that's a lot.
Sure.
That's a lot for anybody. You know, I mean, maybe your quarterback. You know, and I just didn't know Avante would take the next step. He was young. He had potential, but too many times, you know, like in zone defenses, he would get lost in space and all that stuff. But tell you what, he's been outstanding. He's up this game. I've seen a couple times this year, the Tennessee game here at home, where they didn't try to throw any one time. They said, no, we're not going to bother. Now, we're not used to that around here. You guys are, because you had, you know, Aqib Talib, and you had, you got Revis.
Yep.
I mean, you've had some shutdown quarters. I don't think I've had seen a shutdown quarter for the Colts ever. And Vontae has given us every indication that he might just actually earn that contract and be a shutdown corner. So without question in my mind, you know, they can get them with smoke and mirrors and blitzes and surprising people where they blitz from, and some of the backline guys have been a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, when Vontae Davis can lock down a really good receiver, that's a plus the Colts haven't had in a long time.
Where do you think it would be likely for Vontae Davis to match up, you think, on Sunday night? Anyone in particular? Any early guesses?
Well, I mean, you know, I good question. I'm driving home now, and I'm thinking about what I want to write about in regards to the Patriots, because everybody says, you know, getting pressure on Brady. Well, they said every week, and I don't think that's going to happen enough. Brady's got a great quick release, as you guys know. I'm thinking more about Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, you know, I know in the past you've had guys, but the guy I mentioned earlier, Talib.
Sure.
He has to guard Jimmy Graham last year, right?
Right.
And shut him down. And so you almost wonder, well, you know, when Vontae has to cover a tight end, but I don't think they do that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of worried about who covers Gronk, but, you know, I look at the other guys, and I don't think they want him. I don't think they want him on a slot guy, because Darius Butler, another familiar face to you guys.
Right.
He's handled the slot, nickel guy. You know, you're the Wes Welker wannabes, or whatever, Edelman, or whoever else it might be. So yeah, if you're one of your outside receivers, you know, I'm trying to think of the one guy. Hell, I tried to pick him up my fantasy team. what's the guy's name? He's caught a few touchdowns lately.
Well, don't ask me, because I don't play fantasy football.
I think I'm
the only person in America that doesn't.
Well, it's the wide receiver's caught a few touchdowns, and most people don't know him yet. I can't remember who he is now, but he's got my attention. I just gotta remember his name.
Which one? For the Patriots?
Yeah, for the Patriots.
Oh, Julian Edelman?
No, not Edelman, but...
Brandon LaFell.
Yes, LaFell. LaFell, I've noticed a few times, and I guess I tried to pick him up, that Brady's showing some trust in him, you know, and going to him. But we'll see. I mean, you know, I just worry about Tom always finding the open guy, and I really do worry about what you do with Kronk. We sports writers, we love to say, well, you got to double team this guy.
Yeah.
And I do believe that, you know, for the most part, because I've seen Kronk score three times in a game on the Colts before, I know he can do it all different ways. And you know what? Brady is right. That's the sickest damn catch I've ever seen from a tight end that he made across his body. That's just unreal.
Yeah.
And I've seen some good tight ends now. I mean, I've seen Marcus Pollard, Ken Dilger, and Dallas Clark, and now Dwayne Ellis, pretty darn good. I'm sorry, tight ends don't do that. That was absolutely one of the best catches you'll ever see from a tight end. So, you know, what do you do? And, you know, I'm decompressing here about what I'm going to write. Buddy Ryan always talked about, you know, when I asked him once about how to defend Randy Moss when he played for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy said you always try to make the guy guess. Keep him guessing. Have that second guy over safety cover so he sees two guys all the time. But he doesn't know, you know, if it's going to be a double. He doesn't know if he runs across and the linebacker will stick an elbow out and chip him. He doesn't know where the other guy's coming. Always make him think.
Right.
Bill Belichick, conversely, always did that with Freeney. You know, he never knew when Matt White was going to get help with the chip block on Freeney. And it was brilliant because White was always looking for it.
Right.
So I guess, and also Belichick did that with Dallas Clark. He would have Vrabel or Brewski or someone hit Dallas, and then Harrison came up and closed it on him. They took him out of one of those games brilliantly by just a bracket, but also linebacker's going to do your job by just pulling him up a bit. So I would love to throw all those three of those things in Gronk and see if he comes out of it smelling like a rose. And if he does, then damn it, put two guys on him and grab him all the way down the field.
Yeah, yeah. That seems to me a lot of guys around here kind of mentioning the same thing. It's kind of like, you know what? Do what you can to wrap him up because you want to make sure that you at least have somebody around him in order to be able to take him out, make somebody else beat you. And yes. It hasn't been that way for the last couple of weeks. Philip, thanks for the time today. I got one final question for you, if you don't mind.
I'll drive it. I get as much time as you want.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'd be remiss if I didn't at least say something, and we never talk about this week to week because it really sounds kind of screwy to talk about this being a matchup, but the two kickers on this team are probably two of the best currently in the NFL, and one of them is going to go down as one of the best of all time, and one of them is going to go down as one of the greatest players in Patriots history, and I'm not talking about the current Patriots kicker. You know, of course, I'm talking about Adam Vinatieri. How does he still do what he does at age 42?
Well, I know we just talked to him today, and I didn't want to bring up the fact that he hadn't missed a field goal yet this year.
Kiss of death,
you know,
right?
Well, you know, I know he doesn't believe in jinxes. That's hogwash, but somebody else, you know, through this, you know, I didn't point your perfection, which is great. Somebody else brought it up. And then I piggybacked and said, yeah, I didn't want to bring that up. Thanks, Jen. Sure, life makes a lot, guys. Thanks, you know. Adam, I've always asked him the same stuff each training camp. How do you feel? Body feels good. Body feels great. We've had these little off the side chats. I've enjoyed him as much as anybody in the last several odd years, trusted me with his cell. I'm allowed to talk to him like a real person. And so he's candid with me, knows I won't print something. You know, if he doesn't want to print, you know, say his true feelings about the Patriots not keeping him, you know, which I know, but you won't hear that this week.
Mm-hmm.
But he always tells me, I'm going to be able to kick 50 yards into my 40s. And he's told me that for years, and I've seen it. On a good day when he's warming up, he still hits it from 55. And one of the things in warm-ups I watch for, you know, how far is the distance today? Outdoors, indoors, obviously influences that. But he's in great shape. He's confident. There's just nobody else. You guys know this better than anybody. There's nobody else who wants to make a kick. Whether it's in the snow, in the AFC title game, or in two Super Bowls, or from distance or whatever, he's ice water in the veins, and I think the world of him. You know, they call him the legend here.
I believe it.
Pat McAfee calls him legend all the time, and I thought that it annoyed him sometimes. And I even got him on camera in a video and tried to talk to him about going to the Hall of Fame someday. And, of course, he don't want to talk about that. He wants to kick some more. And he's got a two-year contract, so he's going to be here another year. He didn't want to be thinking about, you know, going to Canada. And so the last time I ever brought it up to him was about a year ago. And I don't do it anymore. So I don't want to be disrespectful.
Sure.
Because he will. He'll smack me a little bit. Come on, man. What the hell? But I said, you know, when you're there, you know, I'll be smiling. And I'll remember the times we talked about it. Because I brought it up a few times about how I was convinced this guy would go in the Hall of Fame, even though the Hall of Fame is not exactly a kicker's club. So I've seen him on both sides, your guys' side and then the Colts' side, and I've always thought the world of him. And there's no question being in a retractable roof stadium should extend his career properly the next year. And hell, I don't know. He might try and kick into his mid-40s. What is he, 41, 42 now?
42, right.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't miss this year, or not miss him this year,
right?
And he does it well next year, what's to stop him from, I mean, with Morton Anderson, 45, 46, and we talked about Morton and some of the other old-timers before when we talked about old kickers. So
sure.
He doesn't act like it, doesn't feel like it, sure as hell doesn't look like it. 55 yards in at Lucas Oil, he'll be able to do it.
So, no question.
A lot of fun. I mean, I'm glad that Bill let him go so we could have a down-to-earth great guy here as a kicker. We had a little bit of a crazy one before in Vanderjagt.
Yeah, yeah. Liquored-up kicker. No one will ever forget that.
Well, we went from one guy who missed the two most important kicks of his life to a guy who missed the three most important kicks of his life. That's
right.
A big difference.
Sure. Absolutely. Philip, great insight, great stuff, wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for spending some time with us and with our fans today. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, hey, thank you, and I hope the Patriots let the Colts play with them. I don't want to see another blowout. The primetime games have been bad lately, and I get a little nervous because I know how damn good Tom is. I've always said that I've never seen anybody, but Brady included, obviously, never seen anybody throw a more effortless, pretty deep ball than Tom Brady, and that might sound like man crush. I mean, I love everything about Tom Brady. I love Giselle. I love him. I love the way he dressed these days. I used to tell I didn't grow up a Colts fan. I'm not just a writer, but that guy impresses the hell out of me.
That's good stuff.
Style.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you much.
You got it. Thanks, Philip. Philip Wilson, again, is the editor and publisher of the Colts Blitz website, which is part of the Scout.com network, joining us on the road, as it sounds like, on the Colts. That's some really good insight right there. I know he covered the Colts for a number of years for the Indianapolis Star before he got into the digital side of things and launched the website, but that's really good. You know, the one thing that I guess we were talking about this, gosh, I think maybe at the very beginning of this season, we were talking about, it was right at the very beginning of the season when Ty Law was inducted into the Hall of Fame at Patriot Place. And you were trying to think of other players since Bill Belichick has come in that were let go before they were out of their prime. And obviously Ty was one of those. And he did go on and have a 10-pick Pro Bowl caliber season with the Jets before he ended up retiring. You know, and no one could come up with any other names of players that had success after they left New England. Well, hello, Adam Vinatieri would be one of those guys. I mean, he's 42, he's still kicking. He'll end up being, you know, quite possibly, one of the all-time greats to play the game. I don't think that there's any question in my mind. He's got four Super Bowl rings. Is there any question in anybody's mind that he's not a Hall of Fame caliber player, kicker or not? Because he's playing into his 40s like that? I mean, you know, that's almost George Blanda-esque. And if you don't know who George Blanda is, Google him. Wow, good stuff. Good get right there for us with getting some insight on the Colts from Philip Wilson. All right. We'll pause here on the break for a moment. Let's get to Trey in Memphis, who's been kind enough to hang on through Philip's interview. Trey, what's up? You're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how's it going, man?
Good, Trey.
I'm looking at, you know, different matchups in this game, and, you know, I'm kind of like you, man. I think the kicking game is going to be real important, man, and it's going to be key, and I'm going to go out on a limb. One of these kickers are going to miss a big kick.
Yep.
I mean, I really think one of these kickers are going to miss a big kick, man. I mean, I hope it's not ours, but, hey, you know what I mean? But I think, you know, the kicking game is going to play a huge part, man. And another matchup, I called PFW in progress earlier. I'm very interested in how we're going to match up personnel-wise with the, you know, the coach. They use their running backs a lot in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
They really do, man.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and Ahmad Bradshaw have proven to give us problems in the past. I mean, you know, when he was with the Giants,
mm-hmm.
out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, and one thing that the coach do very well, man, they sell those deep routes very well. You know, they'll send two, three guys on the go routes, and everything, you know, man, they're hitting the backs in the backfield.
Right.
So, out of the backfield, rather. So, and I'm not afraid of Reggie Wayne, I mean, because he's not the Reggie Wayne of old. I mean, but, you know, he's still a savvy veteran. So, I mean, but I don't feel that, you know, we need to put one of our best cover guys on him. I mean, we don't need to raise either Brown or Reeves on Reggie Wayne, because he's not been really getting off the jam a whole lot this year.
Right.
And I think, you know, with him being, what, he's like 37 now, 36?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, John, I don't feel the need to really waste those guys on him, man. I mean, you know, I think we have quicker guys, you know, younger, quicker guys that, you know, they have good technique. You know, they would be able to do good on it.
Yep. Okay.
So,
well, let me ask you a couple of fundamental things as we opened up in the last hour of the program with. Number one, are you a little complacent with this one? I mean, why do you think the Patriots will win this game? Why are you overconfident?
To be honest, John, I'm not overconfident in this one. I mean, because, you know, this is why you play the game, son. I mean, you know, stranger things happen. So I'm not going out on a limb saying that this is an automatic win, but I'm saying that this is a game that the Patriots should win. I think they should win this game. I mean, but, you know, stranger things have happened. I mean, I'm not complacent at all, John. I mean, because we haven't had that signature win on the road
mm-hmm.
in some time. I mean, you know, against a playoff contending team. So, I mean, this is no shoe-in now. I mean, but defensive-wise, I don't think that they match up well with the Patriots on any aspect of the game, just
okay.
as far as, you know, their defensive scheme wise. I mean, now, you know, they do a lot of blitzing, John. I mean, you know, true enough, but I mean, you blitzing Tom Brady, it could cost big. I mean, now, you know, I'm not afraid of their defense at all, but, you know, I don't want to put their defense in a comfortable situation.
Right.
To where, you know, we make a mistake and get down
right.
14 or 17 points because, you know, we haven't got down
right.
to this type of offense.
Yeah, you know, I follow you. I follow you.
Because you look at the Broncos, that's where they got in trouble. Then,
right.
When they got behind
right.
against the Patriots and all hell broke.
That's right. So. All right, the second question that I have was, put Andrew Luck aside for a moment, but what young player in the NFL, 3 years or less experience right now, do you feel like has got superstar written all over him like he does?
Out 2 to 3, you talking about at the quarterback position?
Not necessarily a quarterback. It can be, but if it's somebody else, that's okay too.
2 to 3, that's been in the league
yeah.
2 to 3 years?
Yeah.
Superstar status?
Yep.
Oh, man. That's a good question, John.
See, had to make you think about it.
I can go on either side of the football.
What's that?
I can go on either side of the football?
Absolutely, either side.
Okay, I would say Luke Kuechly, man.
Okay, that's a good one.
This is his third year?
Right, Third year at Carolina.
Okay.
Yes.
I give Luke Kuechly, man, a defensive side of the football, offensive side of the football. I would say, I don't know. That's a tough question, John.
Well, how about this one? Because I just got this tweeted from our friend Chanel. She says, I say Odell Beckham Jr.
Heck no. He hasn't even played six games yet. He just came back. I mean, so.
Yeah, but they are loving him in New York, and if you get any kind of run in New York, that has a tendency to kickstart your career beyond reality.
The way they're playing, John, he's the only bright spot, so I love him too.
That might be, but I actually think that's a unique idea, just because he's kind of come from out of nowhere. He's had to too with the injury situation they have there.
Right. Well. Like I said, John, I'm not overlooking this one, and I hope that the Pats fans aren't. I mean, but now I'm going to say this one thing now. If you go back to Andrew Luck, even in his college career, the biggest games of the season,
yep.
He struggles, John. He struggled. And he did this his last bowl game in college. I mean, you know, the last couple of years, the big game, he laid an egg, John, and I think he's one of those – quarterbacks that are gonna do great things, but the real big games he's not gonna ride.
Okay.
For now.
All right.
Anyway, all right, John, man. I'll talk to you later, man.
I got you, Trey. Thank you. Appreciate that. Trey in Memphis, thanks for hanging on. All right, let's get a break in here, and we'll get our email back up and running again. Thank you, computer. Thank you, internet. Nevertheless, 855-PATS-500. Couple of questions, a two-pronged WTF. What's the focus Wednesday for you today? Number one, why am I feeling a sense of complacency from you when it comes to considering these Indianapolis Colts? Do you not feel like this team is going to really challenge the Patriots on Sunday night? If you feel that way, then why is that? That's number one. And number two, because Andrew Luck is one of the top young players right now in the NFL, who else in the National Football League? Either side of the football, offense, defense, doesn't matter. It stands out to you as a potential superstar in the making. Love to get your thoughts. Half an hour still to go here in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons, so I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium, So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Want to step inside the playbook? Hit up John toll-free on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man, the myth, the legend himself, John Rook.
At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. William on Twitter sends this one out. He says, how does Revis stack up against Hilton? Overall, can the Pats offense manhandle the Colts like they did the Broncos? Two great questions, William. I'll actually take the second one first. Pats offense manhandle the Colts like they did the Broncos? Manhandle might be strong language. I'd say they played very well. I think they had a great game plan. I think Tom Brady was on his mark. But I also think Tom Brady was able to manhandle, the word you use here, largely because you got a guy named Rob Gronkowski in the middle that is almost indefensible. I mean, you've got to basically you've got to put two guys on him to slow him down any at all. And as you heard, you know, our friend from Indianapolis, Phil Wilson, mentioned this a couple of moments ago. Yeah, you know, his main concern in this particular instance is, you know, who do the Colts have that can match up with Gronk? One, much less two players. That could be, you know, an area of potential exploitation for the Patriots, you know, provided everybody, you know, stays nice and healthy. You know, I do think there's a chance to score some points. My great worry here is if you don't turn the Colts over, that they'll be able to stay with you almost step for step offensively, especially playing in their home field. So that's what I worry about. If you can force, you know, Luck into a couple of picks or into a fumble somewhere down the line and have one, two, or especially three more possessions than the Colts do. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the Colts leading the NFL in time of possession. So if you're able to take, you know, a couple of possessions away from that offense, that should give you enough of an edge even if they are able to stay with you step for step on offense. I don't know if that necessarily is manhandling anybody. As far as Revis stacking up against Hilton, I don't think there's any doubt that you'll see that matchup at some point on Sunday. That may be the predominant matchup that would interest, you know, the Patriots from a defensive perspective. You know, Revis does such a good job, though, of being physical. And as, you know, our friend Kat in Chicago pointed out earlier when she called in the program, her observation on the Colts, with her husband being a huge Colts fan, is that Hilton sometimes will fold up, you know, in the face of physical pressure. If he does, then I expect Revis to be right there in his face, you know, in that 5-yard strike zone, and to try to smack him off the line of scrimmage and take him out of the play and disrupt his momentum from getting into a pass pattern. So I think he probably stacks up fairly well. I don't expect, you know, T.Y. Hilton to come up with a goose egg against Revis or the Patriots secondary. But if you're able to keep him somewhat limited, to where he doesn't, you know, burn you for a big gain, then, you know, perhaps you can get the Colts offense off the field. And that's what concerns me. A team that, again, leads the league in time of possession, you got to get them off the field on third down. You don't get them off the field on third down, that's less of a chance for you to strike as well. Those are that's really my number one concern. Getting the Colts offense off the field. Third down conversions defensively must be solid for the Patriots. You don't want Andrew Luck picking you apart potentially. All right, we got some emails to get to as well. Drew in Bowie, Maryland. John, it may be a bit early to say this, but I think this may be a must win. If the Pats lose, they will be behind both Indy and Denver. I think the Pats are more likely to lose down the stretch than either of those teams based on the remaining schedule. That leaves us without a bye. A win this week offers a bit of a cushion to at least get a bye. I'm concerned with going on the road to a hostile, loud environment. Pats have gotten fat at home, operating their offense in silence. Just hope they can adjust. Drew, you're bringing up some great points, and that's why I brought them up earlier in the program and brought it up at least initially yesterday here on the show. Fact of the matter is, you lose this game, you are effectively behind, as you said, both Indy in the tiebreaker and Denver in the standings. And those are two defending, you know, division champs potentially that you're going to have to vie with in terms of getting that bye. And you're going to be behind them. So you drop basically from the potential one seed to third at best if you lose on Sunday. And all that good work and all that good feeling and all that positive momentum gained from big wins against Chicago and Denver is right out the window. Like so much hot air through a balloon if you lose this game on Sunday. I agree with you. I'm not so sure must win, because I think if they do lose and say bounce back and, you know, and beat Detroit and beat Green Bay and beat San Diego, then you've kind of made up for it and you still got a chance to finish 13-3. And I think that overall would still put you in position, you know, for a bye. But that does make Green Bay, in my estimation, that would make Green Bay a must win. And winning at Green Bay or winning at Indianapolis? Now, really, think about this. Seriously, which one do you think is more gettable? Good stuff, Drew. Good thought-provoking stuff there. Tim in Pennsylvania. Offensive, I feel pretty safe. We have a few options for Brady now. Gronk should have his way pretty easily. But my concern is still defense. Even though they have been playing better and have gotten takeaways, there are just too many options for Luck. Luck is not a bad QB by any stretch. He has good tight ends over the middle. T.Y. Hilton is a great quick receiver. Bradshaw can run and catch. We haven't done well against the run, so add that to a quarterback who can throw, and that makes me nervous. What do you think should be more of an emphasis, stop the run or deep threat? Overall, should be a great game, but it won't be easy. You know, Tim, you know, you're asking some pretty good questions. Luck is not a bad QB by any stretch. No. Listen, I think Luck's one of the best in the game. I think he's one of the best in the game, and he's only in his third year. I think he's only going to get better. He's the next generation, or, you know, the next decade's, you know, star. He's the successor in the, you know, Brady Manning line, as far as I'm concerned. Hilton's great at receiver, very quick. Gonna have to be physical with him. Bradshaw can certainly run effective enough out of the backfield to catch the ball as well. Haven't done great against the run. I actually wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, look to Bradshaw quite a bit, whether it's run or passing, but look to his number out of the backfield from the tailback slot. Stopping the run or the deep threat, what should be more of an emphasis? Well, as we kind of talked about a little bit already, you know, that is, you know, that's the goal of any defense, is to take the opposing offense out of something they do well, so they're a little bit more one-dimensional and you can kind of catch what's coming at you a little bit more clearly, see what's coming at you a little more clearly. And that's a great enigma here. Stopping the run, I don't think necessarily makes Indianapolis so one-dimensional to the point where you know, you're going to stop them from getting into the end zone. As I said earlier, there's no doubt in my mind. I think the Colts have as good a receiving core up front as the probably the Broncos do. So if you take away the run, meh. I think the one guy that you have to concern yourself with, to me, is taking away the deep threat in T.Y. Hilton. If you can limit him, you know, to 4 or 5 catches, but nothing over, say, 12 to 15 yards and only get a couple at that range, then I think the Patriots win this game without a doubt. That's what concerns me most, getting behind guys, keeping them in front, which also wouldn't surprise me to see the Patriots play some zone. Sounds crazy to say it, but I can see them almost do that in an effort to keep some of these, you know, really good receivers in front of them. Just a thought. I don't think they'll stay in it exclusively, because I think if they do, they get themselves burnt. But to me, I think you got to take away one of those receivers, and they'll probably start with Hilton. Chad from the ATL says, John, I don't really have a 3-year player that stands out that much, but I've been impressed with Hightower. I think he's really grown and found his stride. That's actually a pretty good choice there. I'm not sure many people would say Dante Hightower, but here's a guy that I think has clearly improved his defending skills in terms of the pass. We've known that he can stop the run. We've known he can be physical. And now he's improving his smarts as well by calling the plays and wearing the green dot on his helmet, you know, defensively. Continues with his coverage improvement. He certainly can be, you know, a really good, well-thought-of linebacker in the NFL. Chad continues by saying, I believe the reason for the overconfidence is because of the Broncos blowout. It's like that old saying, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So if you can blow out the Broncos, you can blow out anyone. If the Pats play like they did against the Broncos, what other teams can beat them? Broncos were the only team that scared me on the schedule, and the Pats beat them handily. If Gronk stays healthy, who can stop him? Also, if Revis and Browner stay healthy, they uplift the entire defense. Luck does have a laser, but he lacks accuracy that gets him into trouble. I may be naive, but it's like in the Avengers movie when Loki says, I have an army, and Tony Stark says, we have a Hulk. It doesn't matter what other teams we have, we have a Gronk. Chad, that's a good email. Thank you. Brooklyn Matt chimes in. Good to hear from you, Brooklyn Matt. He says, I haven't been emailing the show much this year because my Yahoo email program is too slow, and I'm too lazy to open up another account. Come on. Really? He says, rest assured, I'm listening to the playbook as much as usual. I'm right there with you when your corny, outdated intro starts. Tap in and out of the huddle. Okay. Today I just had to wrestle with that defective email program in order to make sure. I can tell you how much I enjoyed your opening monologue. Along with Steve Summers from WFAN, you're one of the few radio personalities who can commandeer a listener's full attention for an extended period of time. Well, that's a great compliment. Putting me up with Steve Summers from WFAN, because that guy's been doing it for a long time. For those that don't know, WFAN in New York, which was the nation's very first sports radio station formatted. He says, this afternoon's opening segment, which ran until 27 minutes after the hour, had me so mentally involved I forgot where I was. I was too busy listening to you talk about the quick succession of player overturn on NFL rosters and wondering who were the best young upstarts in the league. When Kevin went to commercial, I woke up out of my attentive daze and realized I was in my Brooklyn apartment. Thank you, John, for being the voice broadcasting out of that magical place they call Foxborough. You do it well. Somehow I think he's kind of tongue-in-cheek with that, but I appreciate that, Brooklyn Matt. Thank you. And I'll hire you as my agent. I need one. Army Mike says, Good afternoon. Wanted to write in about the doubt that people are having about this Colts game. Now, by no means am I saying that this is going to be an easy game, but I wanted to ask a couple of comparison questions. Who's better, Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning? I still got to give the edge to Manning on that one, but that's based on his track record. I think Luck, as I've already stated several times here, Army Mike, I think Luck is already a superstar and will be for a number of years in this league, health willing. T.Y. Hilton or Dez Thomas? I'm assuming you're saying Demaryius. Wow. I'll take Thomas only because of the size factor involved. Reggie Wayne or Emmanuel Sanders? I'm going to take Wayne only because Wayne has done it for a number of years and Sanders is still a little bit of a recent emergence. Dwayne Allen or Julius Thomas? I'm going to take Julius Thomas slightly, but I think Dwayne Allen, long-term potential, may have him. And then he says Colts D or Broncos D? Broncos D. Like I said, I'm not saying this is going to be a walk in the park. Luck is able to run a lot better than Manning. They have home field advantage. But if I had to say which game I would have been more worried about, it would have been the Broncos. Very, very good comparisons there, Mike. And I appreciate your willingness to, you know, break it down a little bit and make a case for why you're more worried about the Broncos than you are certainly about the Colts. I get it. I understand that. Because the Broncos, in theory, have the better talent, better players, better what have you. But playing at home, and if you don't turn the Colts over, which, you know, as we know that they are wanting to do, then you are in some trouble. And you're on the road. Did I mention that? You're on the road. Colts at home means you're on the road. That always bothers me. And when you play a division leader on the road, you're going to have your hands full. Richard says, living in Louisville, Kentucky, I've attended a few Colts games in Lucas Oil Stadium, and I found the crowd noise to be far, far less than the RCA Dome. I know a few Colts fans I've talked to feel the same way. Let's hope to get to a big early lead like we have been lately, so crowd noise won't even be a topic of discussion. Yeah, I guess part of that is, and correct me if I'm wrong if you've been there, or you know much about Lucas Oil versus the RCA Dome. I'd been to the RCA Dome. I have never actually been in Lucas Oil Stadium, still being a relatively new facility, but I've been in the RCA Dome for a number of years, not only for the Colts, but, you know, for some NBA things and what have you there. And it had almost the ceiling was a little lower, so it left you feeling almost claustrophobic, and maybe the sound reverberated a little bit more inside the dome, whereas Lucas Oil Stadium has got, you know, those open ends, you pull back the top, you can open up the ends a little bit, and it seems to be lighter, airier, not quite as compact, and the sound doesn't bounce like it did inside the old RCA Dome. That's about the only thing I can give you as far as that's concerned. I do know that it still gets noisy. I do know that the Colts have a very good home crowd. And teams that have dome stadiums, by and large, you know, are all thought to have good home crowds because of that sound factor bouncing off of a stadium rooftop. Trust me when I say this, the Patriots will work with noise inside the practice facility this week. Because, you know, they'll just have to be prepared for it. You don't ever want to be unprepared for anything along those lines. That has to be one that they're prepared for. So they'll be working on silent counts and that kind of thing. Gabe in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Well, I can't speak for Pats Nation, but the way they went into the bye with such a high note and then you have 2 weeks to plan for your opponent left me feeling, well, kind of with a sense of anticipation. Seems like the boys will come out swinging, or will they take a quarter or two to get back in game shape? And will that cost them the game or momentum? See, I think that's actually a good point, Gabe. You hear all the talk during the 2 weeks. The Pats have lost two of the last three games after a bye, which we brought up here yesterday. Indy is coming off of a bye. They still have the back end of their murderer's row. Could they come out 2-2, possibly 1-3? Well, I'm not entitling them to winning anything. And yes, 7-2 gets you nothing. I just feel even though Indy is a real strong offense, I believe our D is just a bit better than theirs is. Call me a homer, but my biggest worry is coming away healthy after this four-game stretch against what I believe will be at least four playoff teams. Possibly one of them could be a Super Bowl preview. Think Wisconsin. Yes, definitely. I kind of agreed with that. Before we finish off with three division games. Anticipation, four more days, he says. As for up-and-coming quarterbacks to match luck, well, I don't think he's been drafted yet. I think there is still a few years before we see another influx of great QBs to infiltrate the NFL. Lots of wide receivers, John Brown, Sammy Watkins, Odell Beckham, but that quarterback is not here yet. Derek Carr is probably the closest, but I don't feel like he has the it factor. Brady, Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger, they all have the it factor. I just don't see it from anyone else right now besides luck. Well, I think we had... I think we had a caller earlier in the show mention the kid in Seattle as a possibility there. You know, just for what it's worth. Chad says, John, WTF will be tackling the focus. We'll be tackling and wrapping up ball carriers. It is imperative the defense does not miss a beat. It's a good matchup. Because the Colts are really a pass-happy shotgun offense and our secondary defends it very well. The future stars will be Alfred Morris and Levante David. Ah, Levante David's a good one I hadn't even considered. That's a good one. Tackling and wrapping up ball carriers. Well, you know, if the Colt receivers are able to get the ball in an open field situation, whether it's in front, if they're behind, you know, the Patriot guys, then they may be gone. So that's why I'm talking about some of the emphasis on keeping the Colts receivers in front of you, looking at it from a defensive perspective. And then once you do get to put the hit on them, are you able to, yes, tackle them and wrap them up and bring them down, not let them bounce off of you? So solid fundamental skills certainly have to be worked on and emphasized this week in practice. That means a guy like Patrick Chung, who's going to have to come up over the top on some guys, or maybe he's going to match up with one of those Colt tight ends, got to bring the guys down when they grab the football. I think that's a big factor. Jeff in California says, John, first off, I want to say any given Sunday in the NFL. So I've always got that in the back of my mind in football, just ask Pittsburgh about that. And that being said, I don't think it's overconfident to think the Pats will win this game handily. Colts have the 27th ranked pass D. Awful safety play, which Gronk will eat up, and they don't rush the passer any better than the Pats, really. 24 sacks to 22. Biggest issue for their D is that no one is mentioning is their 32nd in red zone defense. Good call right there, Jeff. They're also extremely prone to coughing up the ball. I think the Pats get two or three turnovers in this game and roll. My young player of superstardom would be Dontari Poe on Kansas City. Kid is a beast. Poe is a good mention as well. Let's see. Lane says, Bill is known for doing these type of moves, so I don't know if it'll shock anyone. Would it make sense to deal Mayo to, say, a Chicago-type team looking for linebackers? I think for a high pick, a second or fourth, it would make sense. Plus, the cap room, say, would make keeping McCourty and Revis more possible. Lane in St. Louis. I don't know that anybody would be willing to give you a second, third, or fourth round pick because now, you know, we love Gerard, but he's going to be considered injury prone by other teams around the league, looking at it from someone else's perspective. You look at it from our perspective, you might think about that, but I don't think that that's, no, I don't think that that would happen at all. You know, and I don't think he has an unfriendly, cap unfriendly contract based on my limited knowledge of it right at this very moment to where you'd want to even consider such a thing. Luke says, all right, Rook, let's be reasonable. The Pats have never clobbered a team as hard as the Colts the last 2 years. I'm interested in the matchup between our secondary and the Colts tight ends and vice versa. Colts play a 3-4 defense, which is a problem, versus a 2 tight end receiving lineup like the Patriots have, but they just don't have the personnel up front to cover them as well as the rush the passer. Okay, can I understand why? Again, I asked why you'd be feeling overconfident. You're giving me some good answers here. So far, the best young players since 2012 would be Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, Sheldon Richardson, Michael Floyd. I'm almost a little surprised that no one else has mentioned Chandler Jones yet, because I know that he's been thought of very highly in a couple of NFL.com polls on the up-and-coming young stars with 3 years or less experience in the NFL. And I would tell you that the perception is probably that he's injury prone. He hadn't been able to stay on the field last year, this year. And so, you know, perhaps that could be one of the misconceptions there. But I would have to agree with you based on his output on the field. There's no doubt in my mind he'd have to be at least considered potentially as one of the up-and-coming stars in the NFL amongst young players. Bob Sosi is getting ready to come in for his program here from 4 to 6 Eastern time. The question I was asking, Bob, that I got that quizzical look from you on was,
yes,
other than Andrew Luck, which players in the NFL with 3 years or younger, less experience, do you feel like have superstar written on them? Has anybody stued out to you?
Well, I think Luke Kuechly of Carolina is a guy that certainly stands out. I like the
Dontari
Poe
suggestion
because I think he's a terrific player in Kansas City.
Yep. Yep. Very good.
Yeah, my recall of guys around the league is terrible. Unless I have a spotter chart in front of me, or I have
spoken like a true announcer,
have the standings in front of me, so I could say, okay, yeah, yeah, ABC
yeah.
on that team, you know, DEF on the other team,
I get it.
But you know, I think you may say that Kuechly already has established himself mm-hmm. as a star in this mm-hmm. league based on what he's done and the awards he's received the last couple of years for Carolina. But Andrew Luck is certainly a guy that a lot of people around the league, I think, feel is already elite, and then yet a lot of other people around the league think, well, wait a minute, he's not there yet, especially with some of the careless decisions he makes and the turnovers that he's been prone to commit during the course of his career, as we've seen the last 2 years against the Patriots.
Yeah. But
physically, tremendous gifts. Obviously, this is a very intelligent guy. He's got the football pedigree with his dad, Oliver,
right.
the Stanford background. But in terms of the physical skills, what really impresses me as much as the arm accuracy and strength to a lesser degree is the strength overall, the ability to get out of the pocket, make plays with his legs, but also to stand in and take huge hits and deliver strikes downfield.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to keep him around the league. If he obviously can have his offensive line keep him relatively healthy, you know, that could keep him around the league at a very high level for a long time.
Yeah, and that offensive line has some issues, but, you know, he's got a very fleet receiving core, at least on the outside with T.Y. Hilton, Hicks, inconsistent with his hands, mm-hmm. but you got a savvy receiver like Wayne, and Allen is a very good tight end, so they've got a lot of weapons, no doubt about that.
All right, what's coming up on the show?
Well, we've got Reggie Hayes from the Fort Wayne Sentinel to help break down the Indianapolis Colts. Tell us about that high-octane offense, but as well of the defense that I know has been a cause for concern out in Indianapolis this year. Kyle Arrington of the Pats, Jackie Britton of Patriots.com, Scott Zolak of the Patriots Radio Network as well.
Yeah, baby. Coming up here just momentarily. Final word today comes from Adam on Facebook, who says, for rising stars, I was going to say Robert Quinn, Watt, Gronk, but they all came into the league more than 3 years ago, so let's go with Russell Wilson, Keenan Allen, and Luke Kuechly. Also, how cool would it be if Jimmy G turns out to be pretty good and then it could be Patriots v. Colts all over again? For another generation, right? That would be pretty cool. All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your tuning into the program today. Our thanks, of course, to Philip Wilson from Colts Blitz for joining us to give us the lowdown on where he thinks Indianapolis lines up against the Patriots for Sunday night. Kevin tells me we are jam-packed for the playbook on Thursday. So sounds like it has to be must-listen radio. We hope that you're here. 2 o'clock Eastern time. Stick around. Bob Sosi's coming up next.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Half Pastrami.